Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. You know, well, I hope that you had a wonderful Feast of Trumpets, a Yom Teruah. And this week we're going to be discussing the Day of Atonement as we are approaching that day as well. I'm excited for this fall feast season. We hope that you're having a wonderful one so far. And as we get ready to go into the Day of Atonement, that's what we're going to be talking about this week. You know, this is a time where we get to remind ourselves of what our high priest did for us. You know, every year on the Day of Atonement, that was the only day of the year that the high priest was actually able to enter into the most holy place. And it was during this time period that he would make atonement for the children of Israel. Atonement means to make a covering over the sins of the children of Israel. So when Aaron or the high priest would sacrifice, first, Aaron would sacrifice the bull for the cleansing of his own sin first. So before Aaron could ever enter into that most holy place, Aaron had to deal with his uncleanness first, because his tabernacle, his layout, teaches us a story. And that is, that which is unclean cannot come, or that which is profane cannot come into the most holy place or into the dwelling place of the Almighty of Yahweh. Okay, he is set apart. He is holy. So in order for them to draw near unto him, and he even speaks unto us today, in order for us to draw near unto him, that which profanes us, that which makes us unclean, has to be dealt with so we can draw near unto him, so we can come into his presence. So before Yeshua died upon that cross and shed his blood for us, yearly a sacrifice was required in order for the atonement of the sins of the nation of Israel. Now, since Yeshua, being the one who was without sin, who was perfect, who was holy, he was spotless, without blemish, he did not require a sacrifice in order to bring his blood before the Father. And so Hebrews talks about how what Israel built on earth was a copy of what was going on in the heavenly. So when Yeshua died upon that cross, he went into the tabernacle of the heavenlies, and he put his blood upon the altar, just as Aaron would do on the Day of Atonement. And he atoned for all of our sins. So now we are able, by the blood of Yeshua, to draw near unto God, because our sins are atoned for. Our sins are covered over by the blood of Yeshua, and we are able to draw near unto him. So as we go into the Day of Atonement, it is a day of fasting. It is a day of afflicting ourselves, of spending the day examining ourselves, as a psalmist wrote, "Search me, O God, see if there be any wicked way in me." So it is a day in which we search ourselves, we spend time praying, removing those things in our lives that are not pleasing unto him, so that we can be more like him, so we can be a living sacrifice unto him, and a day of remembering in the fact that he shed his blood for our sins, and our sins are atoned for. So in a way, we are rejoicing in the fact that our sins are atoned for, but we're also taking that day to afflict our bodies and to examine ourselves to see what we need to turn from in order to become more fully aligned with his image, with his likeness, and to be more conformed into the image of Yeshua. So let's go ahead and look at Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 9. Then Aaron shall bring near the goat on which the lot for Yahweh fell, and he shall offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot for the scapegoat fell shall be presented alive before Yahweh to make atonement upon it, to send it out into the wilderness as the scapegoat. So this is part of the things that are occurring there on the Day of Atonement. As I mentioned before, you know, he's going to sacrifice the bull for his own cleansing so he can bring the offering of the goat before Yahweh. But one of the things they do is they pick two goats. One of the goats is going to be for the sin offering. So it is going to die. It is going to shed its blood for the covering or the atonement of the sin of Israel. And so that is what Yeshua did for us. When he died upon his cross, his blood was shed so that his blood is now an atonement, a covering for our sin. So for those who believe in Yeshua, who believe that he died upon the cross for them, and that by the shedding of his blood, that there is a removal of sin, and that he rose from the grave on the third day, when the Father looks at us, when God looks at us, he sees the blood of Yeshua. He doesn't see our sin. He sees his blood. There is that atonement, that covering over our sin. And that's what he sees. He sees us as innocent, as ones who are in right standing. Not because what we have done, but because of the sacrifice that Yeshua did for us. Because his blood covers our sin to where our sin and our uncleanness and that which we have done, which is profane, is covered and is not seen. Now let's look at verse 10. He talks about the scapegoat. So the second goat is the scapegoat. So this goat is going to live. And it is going to be sent into the wilderness. And we learn something from this goat as well. So let's go ahead and look at verse 21 here. It says, then Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the sons of Israel and all their transgressions in regard to all their sins. And he shall lay them on the head of the goat and send it out into the wilderness by a hand of a man ready to do this. And the goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an isolated land, and he shall send out the goat into the wilderness. So the goat that is living, the scapegoat, is brought before Aaron, and Aaron lays his hand on the scapegoat and confesses all the sins and the iniquities, the transgressions of Israel upon this goat. So all the sin of the nation of Israel is now placed upon this goat. Okay. And now this goat is brought out into the wilderness far away. Because the idea is for the goat not to return to the camp. You do not want the goat returning to the camp. So this is teaching us a couple of things. Number one, he's illustrating and showing how he wants the sin of Israel to be separated from them, to be removed from them, and to be removed so far that it is not going to come back. It is showing us and telling us that he wants us to lay down our sins, to lay down our transgressions and our iniquities, and not to pick them back up, to cast them away. to cast them away far enough that we will not pick them back up. Because we do not want to pick it back up. He did not want the sins of the people of Israel to return unto them. And he doesn't want us to return unto our sin as well. So the goat is sent to an isolated land far away, not to come back again. Also showing how he removes our sins from us. How he separates from us so far. Okay. So Yeshua is our scapegoat as well. Okay. So Yeshua fulfills both of these goats. The one that is sacrificed and gives of his life for the atonement of the nation of Israel. And he's also the scapegoat as well. Yeshua took all of our sin upon himself. And he has removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. So let's look at Psalms chapter 103 and verse 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. And he has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so Yahweh has compassion on those who fear him. So what has he done for us? As we approach this Day of Atonement, we get to celebrate. One of the things that we can take joy in is that he has not dealt with us according to our sins. He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. But he has shown us mercy. He has shown us his goodness. Verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, how great his loving kindness is for those who fear him. So to those who fear him, those who believe in Yeshua, and those who have a heart's desire to walk in obedience to him, that's what it means to fear him. They desire to obey him, to serve him, to make him their master. To them, he will show great loving kindness towards them. So this is the time of year we get to remember how he has shown us his mercy, his compassion, how he has dealt kindly with us, and how great his loving kindness is towards us. And the fact that he has forgiven us of our sins, that he has atoned us of our sins, that he doesn't look at us and see our sins. He doesn't look at us and see our transgressions, our iniquities, and our uncleanness. He looks at us and sees us as pure, as just, as in right standing with him. And what does verse 12 say? As far as the east is from the west, is as far as he has removed our transgressions from us. He is not holding on to our transgressions anymore. He is not holding on to our sins anymore. He is not keeping a list of our sins. He has removed them from us as far as the east is from the west. And why is this? Because Yeshua died upon that cross for us. His blood was shed for us. So we get to celebrate the fact that we are forgiven. And he is not holding on to our past. He is not holding on to the mistakes and the faults that we have made in our past. But he has shown us his compassion and his loving kindness, because he desires for us to be able to approach him, to draw near unto him. And so he removes all that which makes us unclean so that we can draw near unto him. See, the high priest was only able to draw near unto him one day a year, and he had to make atonement for his sin first before he was able to draw near unto him. Now, we can draw near as much as we like, because Yeshua has made atonement for us. No longer do we wait for one day a year to be able to draw into the presence of God, into the most holy place. But we are able to draw near unto him, come near unto him any day, at any time, because Yeshua died upon that cross for us. And when he died upon that cross for us, the veil was ripped open, and he made atonement for our sins. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Yeshua, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. So that's what the veil represented. His flesh was torn. And when his flesh was torn, the veil was torn. And by the tearing of his flesh, he made a way for us to enter into the holy place with confidence. With confidence, we're able to enter into the holy place. We don't have to come begging. We don't have to come sheepishly, but we can come in full confidence, knowing that by the blood of Yeshua and the fact that his flesh was tore, that we can confidently come before the throne of God into his holy place. Verse 21, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. So this Day of Atonement, on this day of Yom Kippur, we can boldly come before the throne of God into his holy place because Yeshua's flesh was torn for us. So let us draw near unto him with a sincere heart, with a heart that is truly, with all that it has, seeking the will of God, seeking his purpose, laying down the fleshly desires of our hearts, laying down those things inside of us that do not line up with his word, but sincerely desiring to go after him, not half-heartedly, not one foot over here, still trying to act like the world, and one foot over here trying to be like Yeshua, but abandoning all conformity into this world and being transformed into the image of Yeshua. Coming with full assurance of faith, knowing fully and assured of our faith that we can boldly come before him, that we are forgiven, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. A sureness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. So, you know, he separates our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. He has forgotten our sins, but many times we have not forgotten our sins. We are still holding on to our sins, our transgressions, and our iniquities. And because we are holding on to those, we seem to think we're unworthy at times. We seem to not come with him in full assurance of faith because we see our faults. We need to sprinkle ourselves of that evil conscience. We need to cleanse ourselves of our mistakes. We need to allow and let go and forgive ourselves for the sins and the mistakes that we have made. We need to forgive ourselves. We need to let go. We need to have our minds sprinkled or cleansed of the evil conscience. We need to have our minds cleansed of those thoughts that do not line up with his word. We need to put on the spiritual mind and not the carnal mind, because the carnal mind cannot please God. If we're going to walk in a way that is pleasing unto God and walk in that which is spiritual, we have to have the spiritual mindset. We have to be thinking upon that which is spiritual, not upon that which is fleshly, not that which is of this world. So we have to control what our thoughts are upon, what our thoughts are thinking about, what we think about, and what we dwell upon is what we're going to do. So let us hold fast the confession without wavering, for he is faithful. Remember that. As we boldly approach him, as we come before him, washed in the blood of Yeshua, and let's not also celebrate the fact that he has forgiven us, but let's forgive ourselves on this day of atonement, and let's boldly come before him, holding fast our confession without wavering, knowing that he is faithful. What he has promised, he is faithful to do. And my last bit of encouragement, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. So he has atoned us of our sins. He has forgiven us of our sins. So do we just continue to sin? No. Stimulate one another to love and good deeds. So we celebrate the fact that we are forgiven. We are atoned for. He's not holding our sins against us. But that's not a license to continue to sin, because there is a warning to those who trample upon the blood of Yeshua. But now, because we are forgiven, we stimulate ourselves to love and good deeds, to love God and to love people. And how do we love God and how do we love people? His Torah, the law he has given us, instructs us and tells us on how to love God and how to love people. Well, hallelujah. We hope that you have a wonderful Yom Kippur Day of Atonement. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all. scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.